Happy Sabbath. Good morning. What an uplifting experience to watch those words coming from the mouth of such a innocent and vibrant children. What a blessing this church has. What a dedication of those people who are instructing them. And look at how children are standing upright. I think we have a real promise for this church, for next generation. Since all the people like you and me, we are kind of shifted, and then new one is coming in, and this is a life. Are you happy to come to Stone Tower Church on God's Sabbath to worship Him and to remember His Sabbath? Some are excited, but not all of them. Are you grateful to know not only the seventh-day Sabbath, but also the Lord of the Sabbath? Are you convinced that Jesus Christ, the second coming, is soon and as a literal and visible and events that will affect globally this human civilization? Do you believe that? Yeah. Are you proud that you are part of Seventh-day Adventist Church? This word Seventh-day Adventist, it's amazing God-given words to us. The seventh day start where? In the Genesis. And where the Bible ends, Revelation chapter 20, chapter 22, verse 20, where it says, "He which testified these things says, surely I will come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus." So Bible ends with the Advent story. So when we say Seventh-day Adventist, it's an amazing concept that God has given to us. And I shared before, whenever you meet a Christian or even Muslim, don't care, do you believe Jesus Christ coming back? And most of them will say yes. Then your automatic response has to be, oh, you are Adventist. But you're first-day Adventist. I'm a seventh-day Adventist. You have to say those words to have some bridge together. That word really works, because I had experience a couple who live a little bit north of the Vancouver through our clinic, and I shared my faith and they accepted Seventh Day and they're coming to church. However, remember, our church is not one of denomination, as we know. This is what? A part of God's Advent movement. You all know about that, right? Our church actually started because of what? Because we spend time here with the Bible, and this is the only thing that we have to uplift in the church. But when this couple I just mentioned, and I was so excited, and then I called them, how was your Sabbath? He said, they kind of a little bit disappointed, because when I went to church and hear the message, there's not much about this. But God still led them, and they said, we found another church of Seventh-day Adventists. And they went there. Oh, what a blessing. They uplifted this one. And so I hope they would keep going to that church. I have been Seventh-day Adventist. I'm very proud of that. But as I have been staying in this Seventh-day Adventist movement for several decades, there's some kind of change here and there. And I want to point out one thing today. Have you heard the words, our daily bread? There's a booklet, or now even, you know, with the phone, we can have that access. Do you know what our daily bread? That started 1938 by Dr. DeHaan. He's in, I think, Kalamazoo, Michigan. And this is not an Adventist. And they're very sincere Bible-oriented group. And they published this, Our Daily Bread. And at that time, not many denominations really think about those things, that we have to eat our spiritual food on a daily basis, not just coming to church. So they have this devotional book started, about 50-some different languages. But do you know that before this Our Daily Bread started, 60 years before, our Seventh-day Adventist Church started Sabbath School Association. Do you know that when we look at this Sabbath school lesson, it is actually daily bread, right? We have to study Sabbath afternoon, Sunday, Monday, all the way through Friday, and then Sabbath we come and then share together. But probably you know, there are many people of Seventh-day Adventist Church, they have nothing to do with the Sabbath school. They never even come to Sabbath school. They even don't have daily bread. Let's open 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. The background is God led through Moses, Israel people, and they had the baptism. And at that time, just all together, because they are coming out of Egypt, right? And then it says, they did eat the same, what? Spiritual meat. That meat is not the, you know, cow or other thing. It's, what is this daily? What is daily meat? It's a food. It's manna, right? Manna. But think about this. And then verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and then that rock was Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was preparing, providing the food and drink, and then Bible says these are what kind of food and what kind of drink? It says what? Spiritual. We all think opposite of spiritual means what? Physical. That's how people think. But think about this spiritual food. They are actually physical food, right? It's manna that came down, and it's a H2O that they drank. This is actually physical food, but Bible talks about not a physical. How do they say? It's a spiritual. Because most of people who actually enjoy this manna, this physical manna and the physical water, they never made it. Why? They consider those as carnal. Same food, same physical food. They ate as a carnal food or carnal drink, because spiritual has opposite with the flesh, not a physical. Think about that. But however, they ate together. If you have a Google search, if you research on meal together on family unity, just put it down, meal together on family unity. In other words, how much eating together in the household affect unity of the family. I amazed how many research they provide, and then they all said eating together is so important as a unit of family. That's why I think I shared one time in the past, in Korean words, family means 식구. 식 means eating. 구 means mouth. So without eating together, you cannot be a part of that family, really. So where are all these members who are not coming to Sabbath school? They don't eat the same food. They even don't know what the Sabbath school really for. Even if the church give this book free, I thought the people like the free stuff. But they don't, seems that I still checked today. There are about 10 copies left. It's still kind of going to be waste. So I'm just telling you, or I encourage you to pick up the lesson book and come join on this daily food, because this is truly a Bible study. We have so many things about the Bible, so we don't have time to really get into the Bible by going through all these stuff, religious stuff, spiritual stuff that is about the Bible. Do you know what book we study for this quarter? It's Hebrew. So that's why, for those who haven't been in the Sabbath school, I just gave a kind of foretaste what this Hebrew, book of Hebrew is about. But before I say that, it is my personal testimony that, especially for the last several years, the Sabbath school department of our headquarters, they actually gave a lesson about the book of Romans, book of Galatians, book of Daniels, book of Genesis, book of Revelations, book of Ezra and Nehemiah, book of Covenant. All these books are so precious. If you study the Bible through this book, you'll be amazed how much you really feel the joy and the confidence about what God has been leading His people. Recently, our family visited a church, but this is home church. They came from main church. They just decided to get together. You know why? It's kind of a sad story. Some people had because of COVID, they had a mask. It's understandable. Some didn't. But the leadership of the church said, you have to have a mask. Otherwise, don't come to this church. If you keep coming like that, we're going to call police. Can you, I mean, this is a real story. I heard it. So this group of people said, if that is the case, okay, we'll separate. We'll come to a home church. So they have a worship service every Sabbath. Different place. You know what they are doing? They actually study this from 9:30 until 3 o'clock. The only break is potluck. And I joined that potluck. And I joined with the discussion of the Sabbath school. It was one of the most memorable experiences that I had. And if you visit other churches of Seventh-day Adventists, even not just here in America, but go to other countries on the Sabbath. The common thing is what? We all have the same food. We are family. We are global family. And I think those who are not thinking about the significance of this Sabbath school, I think you're missing a lot of things. Maybe some say, oh, maybe I can study my own. No, I sleep over. Whatever reason you have, but pray about it and ask God and Holy Spirit to convince, so that at least, I hope, next Sabbath, all of you come to Sabbath school and continue to study the book of Hebrew. Do you know the book of Hebrew is such an interesting book? Today I had a title as, like, Are You the Hebrew? That's a very challenging question. So before we delve into, let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Please help us to understand through the message of Hebrew, book of Hebrew, what we need to do, what we need to believe, what we need to act upon. Bless this congregation, each and every one of us. Give us your Holy Spirit to understand your words. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Hebrew is one of the three most New Testament books that are quoting the Old Testament. Like Matthew, book of Matthew and book of Romans, and then book of Hebrew. This is the book that is very unique, that so-called, this is the book of the better. What did I say? The book of what? Better. Why? The word better in original Greek word is kraton. Kraton is kratosis. Is a comparative, better, you know, good, better, best, right? The better. And this word has about 18 times in the New Testament, and guess what? 13 times of that 18 reference are in the book of Hebrew. So book of Hebrew is well known to be the book of what? Better country. I have all the quotation. Don't bother. You can study those if you come to Sabbath school. Better country, better resurrection. Can you think about their better resurrection? Resurrection, something better than something other resurrection? Because we know the two different resurrection, right? One is what? First resurrection, the other one is what? Second resurrection. Which is better? First, yeah. I mean, this is amazing. I don't want to spend time for that. But better resurrection, better substance, and the better blessing the latter, the better blessing the less. And it also has three times in Hebrew the word better thing. So you better find out what those better thing. Also, this book also talk about better hope and better sacrifice. Better testament, better promise, better covenant, and then better than angel. There are many things we can discuss, but we cannot cover everything. But a lot of time it is very interesting. One word actually give us a lot of information about how, when is the approximate date of the book that was written. So let's open the Hebrew chapter 7, verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of the Judah. What does it mean, sprang out of Judah? He's from tribe of Judah, that's what it means, right? 12 tribes, but Jesus was from Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. In other words, the book of Moses never said that Judah's tribe can become what? Become priesthood. And then, verse 15, and it is yet far more evident for that after similitude of Melchizedek, there arise another priest. So this Levite priesthood that Jesus cannot belong to. So when he was on this earth, if he proclaimed, I'm a priest, they'll probably stone at him because he is not able to become a priest. And therefore, Bible talks about there another order of priesthood, which is a priesthood of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. This is what I just referring to, you know, Hebrews chapter 7, where because Jesus was born in Judah's tribe, he cannot be a priest. Seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, here the words they are, the words are is the key words that will tell us by around what time this book was written. Because this book, this word there are, the word are is like the verb be, right? Be, in Hebrew, in Greek words, am I. But the word there is onton, which is actually the am is the present participle. Do you know what the present participle? It's a grammatic words. Very interesting. If you have a word like walk, put the ing, then what it says? Walking, right? So if I say I am walking, what does that mean? I'm walking. I used to walk, then what? I don't do any action now, right? But if you say I have been walking, that means what? I was walking before, but continuous action, that's what this present participles. So the word there, they are, the word are in Greek words is they have been going on. That's what it means. So in other words, when Book of Hebrews was written, there was what? There were some priests still what? Offering gifts according to what? According to Moses' law. In other words, this book was written for sure before AD 70. What happened? AD 70. It's a destruction of Jerusalem. All the priests were expelled or killed or prison. And then all the temple were what? One stone after another stone. There was no layer. Everything was flat. So if this book was written after the Jerusalem's destruction, AD 70, it doesn't fit with that word. So this book is a very interesting telling with just by one word, you know, when this book was written. Unfortunately, most current Christian denomination, they don't believe this book was written by Paul. However, there are conservative groups. They are actually still support this book of Hebrew was written by Hebrew. And our Seventh-day Adventists, our official understanding is like that. But some of us can use the word writer of the Hebrew, something like that, instead of Paul. But Ellen White says in her book, Christ in His Sanctuary, and actually talk about that Paul was the one who was wrote this according to some Hebrew words that he was quoting, she was quoting. But if you study some history, Clements of Alexandria, he was probably two centuries Christian. He said, this book was written by Paul in Hebrew, but translated by Luke. The thing is, this book, I'm not a language specialist. I don't know much about Greeks or Hebrew, but people who understand Hebrew or Greeks, they say that the book of Hebrew written in Greek is such a deep thinking words put it in. So the style is so magnificent, and we are not able to appreciate that. Now, let me put out one word, which is a word I want you all, I hope, remember and take it home with you, which is this word, hapex legomenon. Can you say it together? Hapex legomenon. Hapex legomenon. Hapex means once, okay? Legomenon is said, being said, spoken. So this word, hapex legomen, is Greek words, as you see here, being said once. In the Bible, especially New Testament, there are about 608 words that only mention one time in the original Greek Bible. And those words we call hapex legomenon. In the book of Hebrew that we are studying, they say it has about 130 words belong to hapex legomenon. So how many chapters the Hebrew book of Hebrew is, has? 13, right? 13 chapters. So at least from each chapter has a 10, this hapex legomenon, because if you study those words, it's a kind of blessing to you. Now, let's open the first time we see this hapex legomenon in the book of Hebrew chapter where? Chapter 2 or 1? Chapter 1 for sure, right? Chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightest of his glory and the express image of his person. Here the word brightness and express image, even though it's translated into English, this original word has only one time in the throughout the Bible. Because the writer has such a task to how to write the glory of Jesus Christ as equal as God the Father. So he put this word brightness into that. And then how he want to express the personhood of Jesus Christ. And he says, express image. That's in other words, hapex logomenon. The other words, very interesting. Even we actually studied our Sabbath school today. Somebody who missed that, you missed it. But let me just share with you. It's a book of Hebrew, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. And verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. If you study book of chapter 3 and 4 of this book of Hebrew, there's several repeating themes. It says they cannot enter into God's rest. They did not enter into God's rest because of what? Because of their unbelief. Now, here there's a rest. The word rest here is different from the rest in verse 4. Can you go back to chapter 4, verse 9? I'm sorry, the previous one we just read, verse 9. Here, there remains, therefore, a rest. This rest is different from the rest in verse 10. This word, the verse 9, is sabbatismos. Sabbatismos. And this word is different from the other words, which is rest. And so we probably need more time to discuss all the aspects of this verse. But in order for this writer of the Hebrew to make sure how we, just like Israel people, we received God's gospel in chapter 4, verse 1, I'm talking about, how come Israel people, they didn't make it? Because when the gospel came to them, they didn't have any belief. So that gospel did not mix with faith. Therefore, there was no God's rest. So remember, there's a formula in this recipe where gospel plus what? Plus faith. Not disbelief, but the faith is equal to God's rest. So Israel people, the one who failed, ultimately, they didn't trust in God. They thought God is telling a lie. They thought God is a deceiver. Why, God, you let us come to this wilderness and let us die? Or why are you killing? That kinds of false impression they had because of what? Because of those spies who brought a false narrative, fake news, so-called. And that's where everything happened. Now, I ask you to think about the title of this sermon. Are you Hebrew? But first of all, we have to ask, what do you mean by Hebrew? What is Hebrew? It's very, at least in my mind, when I study this, it's so amazing. The word Hebrew, it actually means one from the other side. One from the other side. This word was in the Bible designated to the first the first time designated to the person. Do you know who that person is? It was Abraham. So let's open Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. Here, his name, before his name was changed to Abraham, Abram, that was his original name, which means what? Exalted father. And as I shared before, at that time, he didn't have any children, right? And so why, people say, what's your name? Oh, I'm exalted father. How many children do you have? I'm sorry, I don't have any. That kinds of things. So when Abraham, however, God changed his name to what? Abraham, that means what? Not only just exalted father, this time he's a father of the multitude nations. So when he carried his name, what is your name, Abraham? Yeah, I'm a father of multi nations. How many children do you have? None. This is what I'm talking about. But the Hebrew, the word Hebrew means what? He has a different origin. He has a different destination. There's something unique. That's why, are you Hebrew? Are you sure? You're born to this world? Yes. But now, by the blood of Jesus Christ, are you different from the rest of the world? You are called into a peculiar God's people, the remnant, this in the midst of this great Advent movement. Now, Hebrew chapter 11, the other one. Let me just... Genesis chapter 23, verse 4. This is Abraham saying when his wife died and he didn't even have any burial place. And where he was living at the time, Genesis chapter 23. He actually landed into the promised land that God said, I will give it to you and your children. But he didn't have even a piece of property. So he has to buy a small piece where he can bury his wife. And he said, I am a what? A stranger and a sojourner. Now, book of Hebrew, let's go back to book of Hebrew, chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. By faith, he, same words coming, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a what? Strange country. Think about this word. He was living in the land of the promise, but actually, he lives as if that is his strange country. He never thought his ultimate destination is in the Palestine there, the promised land. No. He still lived as what? As a foreigner, as an alien. Maybe not illegal immigrant. At that time, there was no illegal or legal in that matter. But the next word, he dwelled in what? In the tabernacle. He didn't build a fixed building, but he lived in where? A tabernacle. The word tabernacle in the book of Hebrew is so great, right? A lot of instruction of tabernacle, how you build and what kind of furniture you have. So when I think about this, he actually came to the promised land where God asked him to go, but he never intended to live there as a permanent place. And this is, he really felt this is still his strange country. And he never built any fixed one because he's like movement, Advent movement. What is movement means? It's not settled down, established denomination. It's moving forward. So he dwelt in the tabernacle. In other words, wherever he goes, he just feel like he's God's tabernacle, the sanctuary. Do you live your life as if you live in a sanctuary every day? Do you live your life in a strange country, even though this is our permanent so-called USA? Because, as you know, everything will be changed, right? Everything will be changed when Christ comes. Everything that will be shaken will be shaken. Only those who are not shaken because of the firm foundation that is anchored into the Jesus Christ will not be shaken. So even Bible says, in the book of, it's the book of Hebrew, that earth will be shaken, but also what? What is shaken? Heaven shaken, yeah. Not earth shake, but heaven shake also. So we have to know where our standing is. That's what the issue when we ask, am I truly a Hebrew or not? It's so interesting that the book of Hebrew does not show any author's name. If we say Paul was the one who wrote this book, which I tend to believe, even though I haven't studied a lot, but I like to believe the Paul. But think about this. Who wrote the book of, say, 1 Corinthians? Who wrote that? Are you sure? You're only 50% correct. Well, it's biblical, I'm saying. Well, yeah, I'm talking about human authorship, right? But open your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. How many people there as author? Paul and who? Yeah, Sosthenes. How about the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Who wrote that? Paul and who? Timothy. We don't talk about those other people. How about the Philippians and Colossians? It's Paul and Timothy. How about the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians? It's Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. Who wrote the 1st John, the Epistle John? Of course we know John, but never say his name. It says we. But here in the book of Hebrew, there's none of those names. Completely hidden. You know why? Because this is what my interpretation of the situation. Because through book of Hebrew, I need to find Jesus Christ. Not through any human names who cannot be a channel between me and God. We can directly go into the book if we believe we are truly a Hebrew. Therefore, from the beginning of this book, it talks about Jesus Christ. Who was what? As equal as God, but he was what? He was now called as a Son of God. Many people puzzled, why Son of God? That is not the origin, please understand. That is mission of Jesus Christ. When he took over as a Son of God, never changed him as truly equal with God. Suppose if God the Father and God the Son, they changed. It's going to happen. If God the Father came down here, it's going to be the same things. But Jesus Christ is the one who accepted this mission to coming down to this earth to accept flesh and blood of humanity. So book of Hebrew chapter 1, Jesus Christ was what? He was expressed the image of God. He's a real brightness of the glory of God. And all these things talking about through Hapax Legomenon, that this book was trying to teach us who Jesus was and who Jesus is and who Jesus will be. Now, in the book of Hebrew also, in chapter 1, and then Jesus was greater than who? Group of angels. So it says angels worshipped him, right? There's such a deception in the Christendom. Some people in Christianity say, oh, Jesus was first created being. So we cannot worship Jesus. Look at what a contradictory to the book of Hebrew is talking about. He was much better than angels. You cannot compare. Remember, any teaching, any hint that demote true position of Jesus Christ is very dangerous. It's coming from the evilness, because that's where heavenly play started with Lucifer. Therefore, when we talk about Christ's divinity and humanity, we have to be extra careful. That's as Ellen White said. I shared that Bible commentary last Sabbath in our Sabbath school class. But remember, in chapter 2, and there is a change that Jesus Christ came this time lower than angels. And he, as we participate of verse 14, for so much then as the children are partaker of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took a part of the same, even and that through death he might destroy him that has power of death, that is the devil. So the reason Jesus took human nature, and it's very interesting, the word here, likewise, we don't have time to discuss that, but that word is very critical, actually, to separate us from Jesus Christ. Because in the book of Romans chapter 8, Bible says Jesus took the likeness of sinful flesh. That likeness is the same words coming from this likewise. Don't ever say Jesus took a sinful flesh. He had no tendency to sin from the beginning. He is holy when he was concepted in the Mary's womb. He was holy. There is nothing to do with the sin. So he has no sinful flesh, but he has a likeness of sinful flesh. There's very, very critical difference that the words point into that. What about Jesus' flesh? What about Jesus' blood? We're going to talk about that. But as I mentioned, the reason that there was no mention about the authorship of this book, Hebrew, means that we can directly get into the Jesus Christ. And as you know, chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, if you study the book of Hebrew, there are many, about 23, 4, 5 times, I haven't exactly counted, the words therefore or wherefore. That word is coming repeatedly. And here, wherefore, holy brethren. That means this book is establishing a biblical or theological teachings. And then, therefore, or wherefore, the words coming out so that appealing to us, what we're going to do about that. That's what these words keep coming. So wherefore, that means Jesus from heaven as God, he becomes Son of Man, and he's still higher than, better than angel, but chapter 2, he was lower than angel. He came to, as we participate this flesh and blood, he did the same thing so that he died in order to destroy the death. Because his weapon to kill the devil is what? His death. Think about that. That's what we just read. By his death, he wants to destroy the one who has the power of the death, which is devil. So Jesus used his power. Probably he didn't use his divine power God gave him, but he used the death to destroy the death. That's why he died. But here, this kind of Jesus Christ, we Bible talk about, therefore, wherefore, holy brethren, partake of heavenly calling. Now we have this partake of the flesh and blood. But no, that is not only. Now you are partake of the heavenly calling. And then what? Consider apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. The word consider is a good word, but I like a Korean version, which is 깊이 생각하라. That means deeply put your thoughts upon. That's what it means. So there's nothing which is more serious, more worthy to think than Jesus Christ. That's why this book is calling us. Are you Hebrew? If you're Hebrew, you have a different origin, like Jesus Christ. He said, all of you are born from this earth, but I'm from above. So if you come to me, I'll lift you up. That's the better hope. That's better sacrifice. That's better priesthood. Do you know ultimate goal for this book Hebrew is telling is as follows. This book is pointing us that Jesus Christ is now in heavenly sanctuary as what? As a high priest. In order for him to be a high priest, he has to go through this 100% divinity and all the way down to the form of the servant and even subject to the death of the cross. And then he coming up and he has to take his flesh and his blood going to heaven so that he can be a heavenly high priest. If he didn't have a flesh and blood, he cannot be priest. And that's why he took this blood and flesh for us. Chapter 10 of Hebrew, verse 19. Having therefore, here, in other words, therefore. So you have to read before, what was the conclusion that this book is telling, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the what? Blood of Christ. So when Jesus came here to take on the blood and flesh, here the blood, he took his blood going into what? Most holy place in heaven, so that you have what? You have a what? Boldness into enter into the holiest. What do you mean by boldness? You don't timid. You have a what? I have a right, confidence. If you have a ticket, you just go into that. If you don't have a ticket, you just look into whether you can sneak into. No, we have a boldness to go into a heavenly sanctuary, the most holy place. Now, the next, it's a 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. The same boldness here talking about. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have what? We may have a boldness, where? When? In the day of judgment. Most of Christians don't like to hear about judgment. Why? Because they have no boldness. But remember, judgment is what? A blessing for those who have confidence in Jesus Christ. Many people left our church because all this church teaching about investigative judgment, because of that we all live in this world. Wow, when I'm going to be saved, there's no assurance of salvation. Oh, is my sin is going to be forgiven? All this fear. Therefore, I didn't write it, but verse 18, the true love casts out the fear. Because judgment is actually our crying out, go ahead, Lord. This is due. Your justice will be fulfilled. So this is a joyous time for us, the judgment time, right? So don't ever fearful about that. So we have a boldness in the day of judgment. In chapter 2 of Hebrew, verse 14, here, as I said, flesh and blood. That Bible says the flesh is what? Is a curtain that ripped off. So that what? Jesus, it's a curtain symbolized Jesus' flesh, right? I don't know whether I probably didn't write that in the Bible text, but as we know, Jesus Christ, when he died, his body ripped, just like a curtain was ripped, so that there is access to the most holy place. Let's go back to chapter 10, verse 19, our scripture reading. And then verse 20. Chapter 10, verse 20. By having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by what? By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So remember, what do we think about when Jesus took human flesh and human blood? That's where the explanation is. And that is the only way he can become heavenly high priest. Here, I like the words new and living way. If we come to Christ, all things will become new. Even we come today to Christ, what happened yesterday is past, it's gone. And today is a new day. And today is what? Living way. This word living is very interesting because this book of Hebrews is talking about life. In chapter 7, verse 16. Chapter 7, verse 16. We are coming to the end. Who is made not after the law of the carnal commandment, but after the power of endless life. And actually talking about Jesus Christ, he actually has nothing to do with the law of carnal commandment. You know, earlier I said spiritual food, right? Even if it's a material things, but Bible says it's a spiritual food. But people can use that same material food as a carnal food. Same goes here. The law of commandment, holy commandment. But when people, they are not a spiritual, they can use it as a carnal. And Jesus has nothing to do with that. And he said, but after the power of endless life. The word here, endless, is the one I'm going to point out. This is another hapex, what? Hapex logomenon. This word, endless, is a akatalutos. This akatalus is a means it's a nothing, okay? A means nothing. Kalutos. Endless is a very interesting way to translate this word. You know, kalutos is, Jesus used that word. Matthew 5, chapter 17 says what? I came not to destroy the law or prophet. The destroy, that word is katulos, kataluo, kataluo. And if you put A, then become the endless. In other words, here the life is something you cannot destroy. That's what it means. You cannot destroy. Like when people accuse Jesus, oh, he's the one who said, destroy the temple, then I will build up 3 days. The word destroy, same words. Same word Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy. That word destroy, and if you put no destroy, that means endless. So in other words, eternal life here is a new aspect that only book of Hebrew is telling, because this is a hapex logomenon, the only one word, one time in the New Testament. And this word is not like eternal life. Eternal life is what? That is timing. Continuous timing. But here is talking about not a timing, but something that will never, has nothing to do with the time, but it will never destroy. So it provides another dimension of the life that Jesus is giving. I hope you understand what I'm saying. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a lecture from a Korean who is a world-renowned biologist and ecologist. He actually went to the Harvard University and got the PhD there. And it's very well known. He's one of the pioneer in the research of one of the insect we call Minbole. I think when I check it, it's some strange names in English. I don't know. But when I listen to his lecture, he's obviously evolutionist, right? And he said, someone asked him in the audience, about 1,000 people, when was the most valuable moment of your life you experienced? You know what he said? When a dolphin in Korea, they have a Korea, the dolphin show, the place, I don't know how you say in English, but they caught one dolphin, and this dolphin, they decided to rescue back to the sea. And he said, dolphin usually swim about 100 kilometer every day. So if you put the dolphin in a contagious place, like, I don't know, maybe two big size like this auditorium, it was such a prison for them, to limit their liberty. But at the same time, dolphin used the noise sounds for the communication. But when you are in this pool, confined pool, when you send your echo, it coming back to you. It's going to be a hell-like noise they're living through. Only thing they like is food. That's why they are showing things like that. We are just clapping, but they are in miserable. That's why this doctor, Dr. Cha, he said, I don't believe that. We have to liberate all this show things and liberate this dolphin. And he was assigned by the government to rescue liberate one of the dolphin, and then had some kind of plan, like you just have them to go out a couple hours in the actual sea and then bring back and eventually acclimatize to the sea and then just rescue. And apparently they had all this, GPS stuff that they put into their, like cows, so they can check the trace of that. And so he said, the most happiness I felt was when I rescued that dolphin. And when I was listening to that, wow, this man is a very high scholar, but he doesn't know really true meaning of the life, because his title was A Beautiful Life. And then he actually showed a slice of one script, and I think I copied down, was there a slice, the hand? He said, do you have that slice? It says, the hand is only as X way of making another egg. The hand is only an X way of making another egg. So in other words, he said, we all die. That's okay. Let's see positively. We are dying, but our DNA goes down. And DNA is the one that is their God. And so when I think about this, Bible talks about endless life that will never destroy. Even though it has eternal life continuously going on, but it can never destroy. That's the kind of life that God is giving to us. So, as I conclude my sermon today, I want you to think about with me, am I Hebrew? If you say yes, please come to Sabbath school with the book of Hebrew. If you say no, I'm not quite sure, I don't know much about, then please come too to Sabbath school to learn about what the meaning of the book of Hebrew. May God bless you. Thank you very much.